Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening. You are listening to the Better Living Daily radio show, and I'm your host, Karen Bemis. Today is September the 24th, 2015, and we have a new teenager in my family, and not my personal, my extended family, but young lady is very special to me, so I don't know if she'll ever hear this or not, but I would like to wish a happy 13th birthday to my niece, Faith. I hope her teenage years are just lovely. So today's topic, I'm going to jump right in here, is ask better questions. And you know, every day we ask ourselves questions, and they're better than others. There are very different ways when you wake up in the morning to go, is it time to get up already? You can say it, oh, is it time to get up already? Or, is it time to get up already? Very different tone, isn't it? But those questions are how we keep our internal dialogue going, and we all have them. We all have that internal dialogue that we carry on throughout the day. And, you know, the questions can determine where our life heads, whether it's in a positive or negative direction. You know, one of the things I think about is the questions that we habitually ask ourselves. Things like, oh, how could it be so stupid? Why can't I handle money? Why can't I be a better mom, better wife, better worker, better person? Why do I procrastinate so much? Why am I so fat? Why am I so lazy? Why am I such a mess? Why this? Why that? Then go into your relationships. You can just keep piling on for days, right? But the thing about asking questions is that your mind goes to work on an answer as soon as you ask the question. There was someone in my life who used to always say to my kids when they were not in a good mood, what's wrong with you? I hate that question. I really, truly despise that question. Because immediately the child has to start figuring out what is wrong with them. And unfortunately, in our society, we are very rarely conditioned to say nothing. You know, and when a child is 2 years old and they're tired and they're cranky and they're melting down, saying what's wrong with you seems kind of a moot point, doesn't it? They're tired, they're cranky, and they're two. As a matter of fact, I posted something one of my nieces was saying. Her daughter had a meltdown the other day. And, you know, sometimes those meltdowns are, mine used to have them. We found out they had food sensitivities, and that really fueled the rages. But they still had, they still had little fits. Every little kid has fits, you know. And asking them what's wrong with them, now, there's a difference between saying what's wrong and what's wrong with you. This morning on the same niece's wall, I posted something. It was, you know, several children having a meltdown. You know, one, my particular favorite, maybe that's why it stands out, is there's a little child and he is standing against the cabinet and he's just weeping because the microwave ate his lunch. Mom was warming it up, but the microwave ate his lunch. You know, there was another one lying on the floor screaming that he didn't want to go.
even though his mother was assuring him that they weren't going anywhere that day. You know, sometimes two-year-olds are just unreasonable. And it happens. You know, it happens to the best of us. But saying what's wrong with you doesn't lead you anywhere. Asking what's wrong can sometimes lead. You know, I was this kind of mom too. I have several nieces and nephews that have young children. And, you know, occasionally, and on a hot August day, a preschooler wants to wear boots. And you can fight it. Or you can not have that argument and let people look at you all day because your kid's in snow boots. Been there, done that. And I'm not worried about it. You know, I didn't worry about it then. I worry about it even less now. As a matter of fact, when I see a kid like that, it actually cracks me up. You know, we were out. I was out with a neighbor the other day, and she had a granddaughter, and the granddaughter ran behind the bush, came back from behind the bush, and she had no shoes and socks on. And I said, Hannah, what happened to your shoes? She's like, they came off. You know, things like that happen, and sometimes we have to let it go. But, you know, as adults, we unfortunately get conditioned to ask these horrible questions of ourselves, and we give ourselves horrible answers. That's the worst part. But, you know, I've been rereading some old journals, and I came across some entries that I wrote while I was reading a book called Giant Steps by Tony Robbins. And one of the things he discusses is something he calls his ultimate success formula, four parts to it. Decide what you want. And he says to be precise because clarity is power, to take action because desire is not enough, to notice what works and what doesn't, and stop putting your energy toward worthless approaches. Ooh, that's good. And then change your approach until you achieve what you want. And that flexibility gives you the power to create a new approach and a new result. You know, I had forgotten, I do some of that automatically, but I had forgotten I'd read that. But it still speaks to me. The journal I'm reading through now was actually one I wrote in 1998. So I only had two kids then. But I love the simplicity and the practicality of that. Because in the process of deciding what you want, you have to ask yourself questions. And when you decide what you want instead of what you don't want, you ask different questions. And frankly, in most cases, you ask better quality questions, I think. You know, because then how could I be so stupid becomes something like, how can I live smarter? Why can't I handle money? Becomes, how can I handle money better? Or what do I need to learn about money so that I can keep more of it? Why can't I keep my house clean? Becomes, what's the best way to run our home efficiently and effectively? That was one of the questions that actually changed my life right there. It wasn't until about 4 years after that I actually found Fly Lady. But instead of beating myself up all the time, it gave me a better direction to head. You know, why can't I be a better mom, wife, blah, 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 blah. You know, just ask yourself, how can I improve myself every day? Why do I procrastinate so much? Well, how good will it feel to take action on this item or that item? Or what do I need to do to move forward today? Why am I so fat? Becomes, how can I take better care of my body? Why am I so lazy? What can I do to have more energy and focus? Why am I such a mess? Can become, how would I counsel somebody in my own condition? Or again, what can I do to improve my life every day? Because in my world, the world of writing and speaking and having an internet radio show, words matter. They mean something. They mean a lot to me, actually. And to me, there's a much different feel to the questions in the first scenario versus the second scenario. And yes, you can still give negative answers, but even asking the questions differently starts to change your direction, even if it's very slight. When you answer the questions for yourself, whatever the questions happen to be, there's a few words I would suggest you eliminate from your vocabulary. Those words would be, among others, idiot, stupid, lazy, failure, and any other negative term you can think of that you use to describe yourself. I would suggest that you think of it this way. Think of yourself as talking to a five-year-old. Now, some people, you know, have talked about having an inner child, whatever. But whether you can latch on to that or not, think about talking to a five-year-old. You would not tell a five-year-old to get off their fat butt and get to work. You just wouldn't. You don't say that to a five-year-old. You wouldn't berate them for not being productive or forgetting about the laundry and the washer overnight or for forgetting to pay the bill. You wouldn't talk to a five-year-old like that, because when we teach our children basic skills, we encourage them. You know, when you're teaching a child how to tie a shoe, you don't say, oh, God, you're so stupid. You don't say that to them. You go, come on, you can do it. You can do it. You're very encouraging of a five-year-old. And, you know, I know a lot of people would say to me, well, I'm not a five-year-old. Well, you know what? If your home's in rotten condition, you have messed up finances, your body's out of shape, or whatever your situation is, I'm guessing you're acting like a five-year-old. Because, you know what? I don't know about you, but the five-year-olds that I know, they do whatever they can, whatever they can get away with. And they don't do things that are good for them. You know, you give a five-year-old a 3-pound bag of chocolate, he's going to eat it until he gets sick. That's what five-year-olds do. You don't make a five-year-old clean up a room, they're going to make a mess till they can't even walk in the room anymore. You know, it's what they do. You know, it's just being a five-year-old. You know, when you act like a grown-up, your life is different. And I know there's a whole bunch of people out there who say, it's no fun to be a grown-up. Well, I'm going to tell you, I disagree. I think it's a lot of fun to be a grown-up. I feel so empowered when I act like a grown-up instead of when I act like a little kid. I really do. And I know what it's like to act like a five-year-old. I do. Because I've had the messy house. I've had the messed up finances. You know, I still currently have the body that it's not exactly what I want it to be. But I've also found out that the way to make progress is to ask better questions of yourself. You know, if you're interested, I've got some, you know, I've got suggestions, don't you? I mean, it's who I am. When I counsel somebody, particularly on their home, because I do a lot of that. Usually one of the first questions I ask them is this or some version of it, is what's the one area I would most like to improve? And everybody says, oh, everything's a mess. I need to improve everything. But honestly, you can't get where you're going traveling down five roads at the same time. So what I suggest to people is that they pick one. Change their habits in that one area so you can see some success, because success builds on success. And then you can move forward at an even better pace. You know, another thing I ask them is, what's one thing you can do today that will start your forward progress? And sometimes that sounds so small or insignificant, but I'm sorry, if you spend 2 minutes doing something, it's better than doing nothing. It's just finding a place to start. Because I find sometimes that's really where people are. They're just so overwhelmed, they don't know where to start. You know, when I started taking care of my home, and, you know, Toy Lady said to start with your kitchen sink. I did that, but I couldn't seem to catch the momentum that other people caught and that she said would naturally happen. I had to find my own way, and my own way, if you know me, I call it a sweet spot. There is a sweet spot to start for everybody, or a sweet spot that helps everybody continue to move forward. You know, she called it the shiny sink. I call it the sweet spot. And for me, it's my kitchen table. And it sounds stupid. I know it sounds stupid and trite, but it's not only the sweet spot of my kitchen. It's the sweet spot of my home and my life. Because when my home was at its worst, I would have to move the piles from the kitchen to the dining room so we could eat at the table. But honestly, until I addressed the piles, the mess in my house wouldn't go away. And I felt stuck and I felt frustrated. I finally realized one day that and for me, it was if I could just get and keep my kitchen table clutter controlled, addressed, cleaned up, whatever you want to say, I felt like I could move forward. And honestly, I had to spend 30 days focused on that table. 30 days, you know? And it took me several hours over several days to get everything on that table addressed because, oh my goodness, there were emails I had to send. There were phone calls I had to make. There was filing I had to do. And at the time, I just despised filing. I found a simpler filing system since then. You know, I had to do some things that were uncomfortable. I had to question insurance companies. I had to face the fact that I was in financial debt. I had to go through papers and decide which ones to shred and which ones to recycle and which ones to keep. And that's not one of my favorite activities. Because I said it sounds stupid. Not to me anymore. It may sound stupid to other people. So, yes, and I will certainly take that ribbing. Anyway, but, you know, for somebody who has a clean kitchen table or who has somebody else that cleans it for you, it might not seem a big deal. But getting it done was huge for me. And that first night, I didn't have to move a stack of papers to serve dinner to my family was one of the best nights I had had in a long time. And time and again, when I feel overwhelmed with life, I can almost guarantee that when I look at my table, it is full of stuff again. And it's just a matter of addressing it. Take days like it used to. It usually takes just a little bit of extra. But what I also know is that as soon as the clutter's gone, even if there's a few things left, because sometimes there's things you can't handle quite yet. I have kids in college, so sometimes there's paperwork they have to attend to. If I put it anywhere other than the kitchen table, it will not get addressed. Because the other thing is you got to know yourself, too. And I do know that about me. Out of sight, out of mind very often. So that's why my table gets cluttered. It's things that I do need to address. It was like that when my whole family came home a couple weeks ago. We all, within the same week, some of us have multiple bank accounts. And every single bank account we had came out with new cards, new debit cards. Well, there must have been, eight debit cards there? All of which had to be activated, and we had to get rid of the old cards, and it was crazy. But so I had that nice little stack, and I was so glad when my family came home and we could clear that stack away. Once that clutter's gone, every part of my life seems to even out and run more smoothly. And, you know, like I said, it may sound crazy to some people, but it works for me. It really, truly does. You know, and that was that was the beginning of changing things in my home. Now, is my home perfect? I'm sorry. If you looked around my office right now, you would know wholeheartedly, no. You would look at my basement. The answer again would be no. There's still stuff to do. You know, people who say, oh, yeah, I decluttered 4 years ago. Well, I guarantee if you haven't done it for 4 years, there's clutter in your house because you don't change. Leopards don't change their spots necessarily. It's a matter of learning to keep up with it, you know. And some people do it naturally, and some people have to think about it. And those of us who have to think about it, well, it's just who we are, you know, and it's okay. You know, we have the same thing in our finances. I've been in some credit card debt that I really hate to admit, but, you know, it wasn't the credit card debt that was the problem. The problem was our daily, and I know people don't like the word budget, but, you know, people have this idea in their, especially people who are in financial difficulty, seem to have this idea in their head. They know how much money they have to spend. They know how much debt they have. Well, you know, my husband gets paid monthly, so we thought we pretty had a pretty good handle on it. We paid our bills, and we did our best to live on what was left. Well, when you do that, it's amazing how fast you run out of month, or run out of money before you run out of month. And then we'd break out the credit cards, and further we'd go into debt. And, you know, you would think after the first time when we dug ourselves out of $10,000 for the debt, or the second time when we dug ourselves out of $20,000 worth of credit card debt, we would have learned our lesson, right? But no. We got to the point the third time where we were in $35,000 worth of credit. What was interesting is we knew how to get rid of the debt because we'd done it twice before. But the third time we realized what we didn't know was how to stay out of debt. Again, sounds simple. You would think we would figure it out, but we didn't. So we started asking that question. Once we get out, how do we stay out? And I am not kidding you. It was the most beautiful divine intervention I have ever seen in my life that we were introduced to Dave Ramsey and were able to get his entire series of the whole shebang, everything you could want from him. And now it's changed since then, but everything you could want, we got it at half price. And I will tell you, we saved at least three times what we paid for it within 30 days. It's the best investment we've ever made. And I went to look back and see when we bought the program, and I wish I had written it on the box, but I didn't. But I have a son who is in his fourth year of college, and he'll be there for 4.5 years total. And I know it was at least a year before he went to college that we finally paid off our credit card debt and stayed above the line, what I call above the line. Now, we've had some mishaps. We've had some issues. But the thing is, when we've had to use the credit card, we've had money saved to pay them off. So it was, that's what we learned how to do. We learned to take that money and start saving it. And for us, it wasn't the debt that was the problem. It was how we lived day to day and how we spent day to day. And at first, what we had to do was we got small notebooks, and every penny that we spent, we had to write it down. So, well, I'm telling you, if you're in financial trouble of any kind, that act alone will save you money. Because you won't buy that donut that you really don't need and is just going to, you know, be off your budget. You don't buy things like that. You don't buy the frivolous things. And I realized I was buying a lot of frivolous things. A lot of impulse buying was going on. And when I started having to write it down and account for it, I stopped doing it. You know, now we keep a budget tally on a whiteboard, and it's in our home where we know where it is and we can see it, but others who come into our home can't. at least once a week, and sometimes more often, to tally up what we've been spending. And it keeps us aware and it keeps us alert. And what's interesting is for a couple of months, not too long ago, we stopped doing it. We weren't really keeping track. I had all the receipts, but I wasn't writing it down, kind of thing. And we started to backslide. We started using our credit cards more. We weren't keeping up with things. I seemed to be running out of money again. So guess what we're back to doing? Because it works. We're back to the system that got us where we need to be. And we did that on one income with nothing but 1% to 2% raises. Now we got some nice bonuses. And, you know, it's kind of that cycle where the better you do, the better you handle what you have, the more you're given to handle. You know, it just works that way. It's amazing. Now, I still have two areas I'm working on. And, wow, I just realized, whoa, I only have like 3 minutes left. So those are the areas that work. Now, the areas that I'm working on, creating a healthier and more fit body, and working on a career launch. You know, if you read my blog, on Tuesday, I posted a blog post about rediscovering peace and harmony. And that's really the direction I want to go. That's the specifics of that success formula I talked about. Specifically, I'm not a fan of the no pain, no gain. So what I want to do is I want to figure out how to have great joy and great peace on my journey. I stopped beating myself up about my weight. That was really hard because there's other voices in my head that, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm battling them. You know, I want to create the best life that I was born to live. Why anyone else's life is better than mine. Because I know there are some people who look so good on the outside and there's so much going on behind closed doors that we know nothing about. Now, I know some people have really great lives. I have a couple of friends, one in particular. She has an awesome life, but she's not without her problems. She just doesn't share them with too many people. Even me, she doesn't share them with very often. But, and we've been friends for more decades than either one of us wants to admit. So, and I'm down to 90 seconds. So, you know, I'm looking for the answers that lead to my best life, my highest quality life, my divinely inspired life, and the one that will provide the most value for me, my family, and the universe that I live in. So I ask you, what's the one thing you can do today to make this a great day for you? Answer that. Act on it and ask it over and over as many times as you need to. Thank you all for being here, for the ones who are here live, for the ones who listen later, for the ones who will be reading this as a blog post. I love you all. It has been a joy and a pleasure to be here today, and I will see you all next week. Have a great one, everybody. Love you. Bye-bye.